If you could open up your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and reading from verses 1 until 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's epistle to the believers in Corinth. Verse 1, thus saith the word of the Lord. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that which he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We trust that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. It was 2011 whenever I was invited down to Jordanstown to the university, and there was taking place then a pre-London Olympic event. And one of the teams that were represented was a Brazilian team, and me with the language capacity, I was asked to help them out. And the event was a sport called bocha. I had never even known of it. It was a bit like what we might describe as wheelchair bowls. Where I'm going to is one of the athletes who happened to be the world champion and did win two golds over in London was a Brazilian athlete called Dirceu Pinto. And I become very friendly with him because I found out that he was a Christian. And he wanted me to pray and encourage him. And he was a witness even to the other athletes. And his story was that as a 12-year-old boy, life had been quite normal to him, brought up in a rural city outside of São Paulo. But at that point, his world was turned upside down. He was diagnosed with a muscle-wasting disease called muscular dystrophy. He was lost, and the power began to wane in his legs. He couldn't walk and had to use a wheelchair, and the power in his arms is also weakened greatly. It was a battle for him, according to his own words, on a daily basis. But the biggest thing that plagued Dirceu's mind, what point is there to life? This thorn in the flesh, as he himself described it, was overwhelming for him. However, in the midst of great distress, in the midst of buffeting that no young boy should ever have to go through, there was hope. That hope was brought to him by his own brother, who was a Christian, and he told him about the Lord, explained to him how Jesus loved him, gave his life for him, died for him in the cross, and that Jesus still had a plan and purpose for Dirceu's life. He trusted in Jesus and dedicated his life to the Lord. And as he grew in faith and became more familiar with the Scriptures, he decided that he really wanted to serve the Lord in some way, but with his disability, what could he ever hope to do or achieve? Around that time, he was introduced to that Paralympic sport of boccia, and he began to practice it and found that he was very good. But to practice it by the rules of that sport and the category of the illness that he was diagnosed with, he had to forgo treatment that would have given him strength later on in life. And he says that point was a pivotal point. It was sacrifice to him because he knew at some stage the effects of that illness would really take their toll and catch up with him if he didn't have that treatment. Yet, to practice the sport that he had begun to embrace and love and was good at, and that he believed God would have him do, he had to forgo some of that treatment. So it was that he became very good, was selected for the national team, and then went to Beijing, where he won gold, and then I met him in Jordanstown, and also at London 2012, where he also won gold. But after he had won his gold in London, he shared something that with me was amazing, because he said to me, "Billy, this gold medal is wonderful, but it's only an additional bonus for me. That's not my real reason for being here. My real reason is to glorify the Lord through my disability. To use the circumstances of my life for his honor and glory." And during that time in London, I supplied him with quite a number of Bibles who were given to me by a member of this church. And he distributed them amongst other athletes, a feat that I could never have been permitted to do because of security. And in Brazil, he runs a Christian ministry using that sport, and because of his disability, that reaches over 300 other people who have similar disabilities, not just teaching them about sport, but more importantly, about the Lord Jesus Christ. The title of my message this morning is Turning Buffeting into Blessing. And really, my focus this morning will be upon the verse 7, although we needed to read the whole context just to understand the verse. And the phrase, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Friends, firstly, Paul reminds us here about the reality of life. There's a great debate amongst theologians. Pastor, what was the thorn in the flesh? And for those who are studious with regards to Scripture, I'm sure you've read up about it. Well, there's two or three different positions, and even the best of evangelical theologians don't seem to particularly agree. There could well be a physical disability that Paul may have had in mind, referring to this thorn in the flesh. In the previous chapter, 2 Corinthians 11, there you find from verse 23 through to 27, he lists how he suffered for the gospel cause. In verse 23 and 24, he talks about stripes, about scourging, about whipping. Verse 25, about being stoned. Verse 25, about being shipwrecked. Verse 26, about being scourged and pearls. Verse 27, about sufferings. What we know, the Apostle Paul suffered greatly during his time of service for the Lord. Some take then Galatians 6 and 11 to suggest that he had a problem with his eyesight. There you see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. Well, some take that attitude, that that's what it may have been. Others suggest, well, it may have been sin that beset him, and in particular, that sin of pride. And they will use the verses 1 until 4 in particular there to back that argument up, that Paul had certain revelations that other men did not have. That Paul walked closely with the Lord, but he let that get to his head, a bit like Peter, we find there, who declared, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and the others patted him on the back and said, "That's right." But like Peter, who, when the Lord bid them come out of the boat, he was the one that threw his leg out over the side, got into the water, the others encouraged, "Go on, Peter, go on, we're with you," etc. But it was Peter who denied the Lord, denied him thrice, with cursing and oaths. And some suggest there that this may have been pride. However, I remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul when he says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Then he reminded us of the nature of himself, that he was the worst of all. He referred to himself in another passage as being the least of the apostles. But some hold to that view. Where I personally believe this thorn in the flesh come from is what it actually says there in verse 7. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." We know that Paul was in the front line. Paul was winning souls for the kingdom of God. Not only did he encounter physical attacks, verbal attacks, but spiritual attacks. Satan, this messenger of Satan, whether an individual, whether demonic, there buffeted him with those fiery darts that we read of in Ephesians 6. But we're reminded there that the Lord has given us a shield of faith by which we can defend ourselves against such darts. We remember that in the case of Job in the Old Testament, that Satan came and stripped him of his fortune, stripped him of his family, stripped him of his frame, leaving him covered in boils. And the very Peter there writes to us, warning us about our adversary, the devil, who has a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We can recall that Peter wrote those words out of his own experience. Before he had denied the Lord, what did the Lord warn him of in Luke's Gospel in chapter 22? That Satan was seeking to sift him. His chaff, his wheat. Peter didn't even know it. But the Lord reassured him, "But I'm praying for you." So friends, if you asked me, well, I believe that it was the latter. We remember that Peter, when he repented of his sins, was restored when the Lord asked him, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these, the fish, the friends, the finance, the family, the fellowship? Do you love me more than all of these?" And he responded, "Lord, thou knowest everything. Thou knowest that I love thee." And then Peter got that word, "Feed my sheep," John 21. Friends, what we see here is the reality of life. Paul knew whatever that thorn was, whatever you think it may have been, he experienced the thorn in the flesh. And friends, it was real to him. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here this morning, and you have that thorn in the flesh. What's it like? You know how it is. You get pricked by it. You try with your thumb or your finger there to work it out of your skin, and it's just deep enough that you know it's there, but you can't get at it. Maybe for a period of time it doesn't bother you. Then accidentally you rub that area up against something, and suddenly you feel that prick. You're reminded that thorn's there, and you'll do whatever you need to remove that thorn from the flesh. Friends, Paul reminds us of the reality of life, that many here this morning have a thorn in the flesh, whether small or great, whatever nature it may be. But not only does he remind us of the reality of life, about the thorn in the flesh, or if you don't have one, you could well have one in the future. But he also then tells us of his request to remove the thorn. You see, we read here that Paul was buffeted. Now, to buffet means to punch continually. This wasn't something that come and went periodically. This was something that bothered him day and daily, troubled him hour after hour. He was aware of it. He was afflicted by it. There's a lovely hymn says, if Satan should buffet, if trials should come, least this blessed assurance control, that Christ have regarded my helpless estate, and have shed his own blood for my soul. That goes to the chorus of it as well, with my soul. Friends, we find that Paul was buffeted, afflicted by it. What did it produce in him? Well, it brought him to his knees. And may it be that we learn that lesson, that when we are buffeted, when we are afflicted, go firstly to the Lord. We're not told here that Paul went to some of his associates, that Paul went to some of the other apostles, shared with them. He may well have done so, but he went to the Lord. It tells us in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Let me tell you something about these prayers of Paul. They were fervent. They were faithful. And they were factual. Tells us that he prayed thrice. That signifies to me that Paul prayed about and prayed about and prayed about this issue over and over and over again. He was fervent in his prayer. Wasn't a quick wee prayer and away went on with his normal business. This was prayer before the Lord, trusting and praying to the Lord to remove this thorn. But it's interesting what the apostle actually says of this thorn. In verse 7, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, if it was given to him, the question is, maybe so much not what was it, but from whence it come. Who had given it to him? Well, he tells us in the case, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. So we know, and Paul was aware, that these attacks, this buffeting, this affliction, he knew the source of it, that it was Satan and his wiles that were troubling him, that were testing him, that were trying him to the point almost where he was on the point of breaking. But friends, the apostle Paul, by the fact he brought his trials, his troubles, his testing to the Lord, realized something. That yes, he can see evidence of the hand of Satan at work, but God ultimately was in control. Paul, writing earlier to the Corinthians, said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. The apostle Paul, from his own life's experience, he acknowledged the reality of this thorn in the flesh. He didn't deny it. He brought the request to the Lord. Lord, that it might depart from me. But friends, in that request, he acknowledged that God is sovereign. His desire was that it would leave him. But friends, we see as God would respond, or the result of the thorn in the flesh. His response would be in verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Friends, this morning, are you sorrowful? This thorn that is in the flesh, are you sorrowful and broken? Then turn to the one that Isaiah describes as in Isaiah 51 or 53, the man of sorrows, who knows how your heart breaks. Do you feel rejection today? That rejection has stunned you. It's come from a source or a form that you never imagined it would have. And you feel very low. You feel very lonely. Remember then to come to the one who experienced the ultimate rejection. The one of whom John chapter 1 says, he came to his own, and his own received them not. Maybe it's not sorrow, maybe it's not rejection, but you feel totally forsaken, isolated, alone. No one cares. No one thinks. No one considers you. Then turn to the Savior, who there upon Calvary's tree cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews and the chapter 4 about our great high priest and that high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, firstly, the reality of the thorn. Then the request about the thorn. And finally, the result of the thorn. Paul prayed thrice. Desired God to remove the buffeting, to remove the affliction. And the Lord answered him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Now, we talk about politicians being the greatest men or women, as we know, who can avoid answering a question. God wasn't avoiding answering the question. He was given the answer here. You see, at times when we seek the Lord's face in prayer, the answer can be no. The answer indeed can be yes. But the answer can be in my good and perfect will and timing. You see, Isaiah said that God's ways are not always our ways. We seek his face, we seek his will. May we be in that place where we are conformed to his will, where we accept God's will and know that his grace will be sufficient for us, whether he removes that thorn in the way that you and I would desire, here and now, or not. Friends, God still had a work for Paul to do. God still had a plan for Paul in his ministry. Whenever I think about that thorn in the flesh, and about his suffering, about his buffetings, about his affliction, did he not suffer like that when he was in Philippi? And there in the midst of ministry, and there Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, got saved. The slave girl, the demoniac girl laying, come and trusted in the Lord Jesus, and she was delivered and set free from her demon possession. And then her masters, who had evil intent and were annoyed and hated Paul, brought up and concocted those accusations that he and Silas were grabbed and without trial thrown into prison, beaten, put in the most secure wing of that jail. But friends, we remember this. If they'd never been in Philippi, and that had come about because of God's will being done in the Macedonian call, for surety that God had called us, they'd never been in Philippi. If they'd never been in that jail, how would that suicidal jailer who drew his sword out and thought about ending it all, how would he have ever heard the gospel? How would he have ever been saved? When Paul cried out, do thyself no harm. And he come trembling, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul was able to lead not only him, but his whole household to saving faith in the Lord. You see, God had a purpose and a plan in all of what was going on, or God had that purpose and plan in Paul's life, even if it brought about at times suffering and affliction and buffeting. But friends, I tell you, not only did Paul learn through that God still had a plan for him, a purpose for him, he also learnt about patience and what God can do in his own heart. Doesn't it tell us this in James 1 and 3? Know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And Paul was willing to trust in God, to know that the Lord could bring him through, that his grace would be sufficient for him. It didn't mean that life got easier in one sense. The thorn was still there. But friends, God's grace, day and daily, would enable him to cope, would enable him to progress, would enable him to serve, would enable him to find that reason for living. Doesn't Paul remind us, I can do all things, but how? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Linked in exactly with our text, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What Paul had through his pedigree, what we read of in Philippians 3, and how he was of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, all of that was all set aside. It meant nothing to him, bar the Lord Jesus. Friends, his great oratory, his great preaching gifts meant nothing bar the Lord Jesus. And Paul come to that realization here that without the Lord, I can do nothing. And it is for the Lord that I will do everything. Even he could say, amazingly, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Friends, we all need to learn this lesson. Whether we are buffeted and afflicted by a messenger of Satan, by a thorn in the flesh, or not, It is when we are totally reliant upon the Lord that He can work in us and then work through us to the blessing of others. Paul wouldn't glory, he said in the Revelations, wouldn't glory in anything bar that which pertained to the Lord. Even if it was infirmities, reproaches, persecutions, if it was for Christ's sake, then he would embrace it, saying, "May all the glory and honor be given to the Lord." He even says in Galatians 6 and 14, there, that God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, he learnt the key, because at Calvary, all our buffetings, all our burdens are turned to blessings. May it be today that the Lord encourages you. You who are afflicted, you who are buffeted, God has something wonderful ahead. And for this fellowship in Bali, the same. In his name we pray. Amen.